relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
You're saying, you know, they're saying $1.7 million over 15 years, but it's not $1.7 million. That's income. The taxable portion of that to New York State is 8%. That's $136,000 over 16 years. That's 10 grand a year. Half of that, because my father's a good guy, he paid for this guy's grandchildren's education. Our tax experts say that's not even taxable. You can pay for someone's education that way. So you cut it down. It comes out to like less than 10 grand a year. It's about closer to 5 grand a year if you take out the education.
That is the voice of Donald Trump Jr., who's on with Jesse Waters yesterday talking about the charges against the CFO of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg. I'm Jennifer Horn, in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on America First. Pleasure to be with all of you, and happy 4th of July. This latest round of charges against not only the Trump Organization, but certainly an attempt to scare and shake the Trump family has been center stage this week. Joining us right now is a friend of this program, and gosh, we're right down the street from each other in Los Angeles today. Not in the same room, but Greg Jarrett, welcome to America First. So great to chat with you again. He's a legal and political analyst for Fox News and also the author of Russia Hoax and Witch Hunt. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Jarrett. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Jennifer, always a pleasure talking to you.
It is always great to hear your voice. And the Trump Organization, as you know, the CFO, Alan Weisselberg, pleaded not guilty in a Manhattan court after being charged with fraud and tax crimes on Thursday. He pleaded not guilty to grand larceny, which in the state of New York is the unlawful taking of funds or property valued at $50,000 or more. It's punishable for up to 15 years in prison. Now, you have done some great writing all about these charges. And Greg, what is your initial thought? I mean, it seems like more of the same. It seems like targeting anything that has the name Trump on it.
Sure. I mean, this is a classic abuse of power by Cyrus Vance Jr., who's the district attorney in Manhattan. And, you know, let's back up a little bit. Cy Vance is a hyper-partisan Democrat, you know, far leftist. Mm-hmm. Not much of a lawyer, never was. Ask anybody, they'll tell you that the only reason he got elected DA is because he's the namesake of a famous man, the real Cyrus Vance, who was actually a pretty smart guy and, you know, served at one point in time as Secretary of State. That's the only reason Cy Vance got elected DA. And he spent 4 years targeting Donald Trump because, like many people, he suffers from Trump derangement syndrome. So he spent 4 years pouring through 3 million documents based on more than 100 subpoenas, and he never came up with a scintilla of evidence that Donald Trump had done anything wrong. Imagine that.
Wow.
I mean, imagine going through any top official of any American corporation like that, you'll surely come up with something. But they came up with nothing against Donald Trump. He didn't cheat on his taxes. He didn't commit real estate fraud. Hush money that was paid to Stormy Daniels was perfectly legal and not a violation of the law. So all of these promises that the DA and the media made that former President Donald Trump was going to be wearing an orange jumpsuit, yes, peering at us behind bars. It was all wrong. Instead, they go after an underling for what is really, in the grand scheme of things, pretty insignificant stuff. Not reporting his taxable income use of a company car, company apartment, as well as tuition payments. And you played the clip of Don Jr. and what the tax experts told them, and he's right. Tuition's a non-starter. It's not a crime, and it's
just
a joke.
It seems so bizarre, Greg, that you had Michael Cohen, the former attorney to the president, who was out there talking about how this was the smoking gun, that they were going to get Weisselberg, this is going to be just the beginning, and that they're going to go after Trump. As you mentioned, for years, they've made it their goal to investigate everything about the Trump organization. They would love nothing more than to charge Donald Trump. And I think maybe even more than that, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, because they probably think that'll hurt the former president even more. But the charges that they're talking about, for any of us who work in corporations, think about this.
Right.
They're saying he didn't report taking company cars. He didn't report all of that. I mean, how many of us, I mean, I don't have a company car, but certainly I've taken rides to events. Are you supposed to declare that as income? I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff that they're charging Weisselberg with, even right after all these years.
Ridiculous is an understatement, Jennifer. I mean, look, the federal tax code is so complex and convoluted. It's really incomprehensible, even to tax lawyers. Because it contains within the tax code so many exceptions and caveats and carve-outs and even contradictory opinions issued by the IRS itself on what are known as corporate perks. And it is, at best, a murky area of law. As a consequence, you know, a lot of these perks, as you point out, Jennifer, are commonplace in corporate America. But corporation, big corporation, you know, doesn't lease company cars and allow employees to use them. I've used, you know, company cars.
Sure.
I've never reported it as taxable income. You know, a lot
to
of corporations
have apartments. To be honest with you, Greg, I wouldn't even think about that. It wouldn't even cross my mind.
And you know, the IRS wouldn't pursue it. They never do. And so, you know, good luck trying to prove this case. I guarantee you. And I have spoken with a top official at the Trump Organization. They are more than prepared to present expert testimony from tax professionals who will say, no, look at this particular IRS tax code. Look at the opinions incidental to that code, and you will find that this is not taxable income. And so, you know, even if the prosecution presents their own experts, what's a jury going to do? They're going to throw up their hands. They're not going to understand this.
Right.
Because most tax experts don't truly understand it. So, you know, this case is an uphill battle for Cy Vance. Of course, he's not going to try it because he's not a particularly good trial attorney. In fact, he's a terrible trial attorney.
Wow. And it seems that this is the Southern District of New York has really had it out for the former president, for his organization, for such a long time. In fact, in the interview that Eric Trump did last night on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News, they played a clip of the New York, forget even the Southern District, but the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who has said multiple times on the record that she is going to become a you-know-what in the rear end of President Biden, and the you-know-what of President Trump,
right,
that she vowed, she ran on going against him. So what is next? We know these charges are pretty trumped up. We know it's going to be a difficult trial. Is it possible that the jury has Trump bias? Is it, I mean, according to the news media, this is just it. I mean, how does that reporting even get out there? And does it corrupt the jury pool that'll sit on this case?
Well, I mean, anybody who relies on truth and accuracy with regards to Trump from the mainstream media is a complete idiot. They hate Trump so much that it absolutely shades their reporting. So don't rely on the mainstream media. Here's what really happened. Cy Vance spent all of this time, millions and millions of taxpayer dollars. He put together a team of lawyers and accountants. They spent years trying to pin something on Trump. They couldn't do it. And this was a huge embarrassment to him.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to save face, this is what it's all about. Sidevance trying to save face. They come up with a lame charge against Alan Weisselberg in order to justify what they had done. So, you know, is it any wonder, Jennifer, Americans despise people like Cy Vance in power? They're corrupt. They're abusive. Vance is a prime example. And this is the problem with having politicians serving in law enforcement and prosecutorial positions. They politicize and weaponize their power. Mm-hmm. It's disgraceful. You know, good luck presenting the case in front of a jury, even a jury that probably despises Donald Trump.
And how many other people, and we're in our last moment here, Greg, but how many other people, and I look at Hunter Biden, that have not even seen one charge for things that maybe might constitute much higher crimes than we're even talking about with Donald Trump here?
Yeah, it's a double standard, and everybody paying remote attention knows it. You know, the info investigation in Hunter Biden, who in my judgment has committed real crimes, crimes of corruption and influence peddling, he won't be touched because, you know, as he said in an interview after the election, he was relieved his father got elected because, you know, he essentially knows the charges are going to go away.
And he's an artist now, Greg Jarrett. So back to his artwork. Greg, thank you so much for being with us today. Happy 4th of July to you. Follow him right now at Greg Jarrett. Also check out thegregjarrett.com and check out the books Witch Hunt and The Russia Hoax. Thanks so much for being with us. More up ahead. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorga. This is America First.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thanks, Dr. G. Sebastian Gorka is on vacation today. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to be filling in here on America First. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out SebGorka.com. You can see the streaming version of this program and get all kinds of additional content. And stay in touch with America First at SebGorka.com. Now, it is 4th of July weekend. Independence Day. America is 245 years old on Sunday. And I think it's a really good holiday. Like, I know we're all patriotic listening to this show. If you like a show called America First, clearly every day is the 4th of July. Every day is Independence Day. But there's not a lot of pressure when it comes to Independence Day. You don't have to think about presents. You don't have to think about like the big meals. It's simple. It's a barbecue. You decide if you're going to swim or go to a beach. It's pretty low key. And you get to listen to patriotic music. You get to celebrate the country. Think about why we're so lucky and blessed to wake up every day living here as American citizens, right? I think it's pretty good. So imagine my chagrin and really, truly, like a little bit of, I think I might have gone apoplectic when I read this survey because I just don't understand it. I'm hoping that you will help me out. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call. You can tweet me at Jennifer Horn or Jennifer Horn Radio on Facebook and Instagram. There's a new poll that's out from Fox News, and in it, it was revealed that 7 out of 10 voters believe America is the greatest country to reside in. We think, all right, 7 out of 10 doesn't sound bad. But that comes down to 69%. Now, it's a pretty high number for polls, right? With everything so divided in this country, I think everybody always is expecting things to just ride around 50%. So when you hear 69%, but then when you like dig in and start thinking for a minute, you go, wait a second. Only 69% of Americans believe that America is the greatest country to reside in? Like, what are the rest of them doing? This is the latest Fox News survey. The number is down from 83% in 2015 and from the high watermark that was recorded a decade ago, 84% in April 2011. Now, 26% say America is not the best country to live in. That's up 12 points. So why do you think this is? 833-33-GORKA. Looking for some help on this. I wanted to poll some of you. You guys are all smart out there. 833-33-GORKA. Why is that number so low? 69% believing America is the greatest country to reside in. 26% saying America is not the best country to live in. Is it this idea of systemic racism that has been thrown at us over the last couple of years? Is it the critical race theory finally clicking in the brains of people who were kind of indoctrinated with that in school, and now they're becoming adults and taking part in this survey? Or are people really disenchanted with where the country is? Look, I cannot stand what Joe Biden is doing to this country. I cannot stand that we are so divided as a nation. But you can bet your bippy that if I had to choose, there's no other country that I would choose. We can still fix things here. There is still opportunity here. Yes, there are things that we complain about all the time on talk radio or on cable news, or maybe we do it to our friends or to our family. But we can still fix things. There's still a level of control in this country that is not there in other nations. And I thought it was interesting, as you dig down into these numbers, there are some groups that have impacted the number. 69% saying that they're happy to live here, that there's no other country, or that America's the best country to reside in. The people who have changed their mind and who have lost favorability on the country are those who are under the age of 45, Democrats, women, and Black voters. All of them significantly more unhappy with the country now than they were in 2015. Now, this surprises me because you'd think Democrats are in the House, Democrats are in the Senate, Democrats are in the House, or excuse me, in the White House. Would that be enough? I mean, it seems like you've won if you think the country was terrible. If you're a Democrat, if you're a woman, if you're a Black voter, if you thought the country was terrible before, well, probably what you've voted for is now in charge. So wouldn't that give you some hope? Or have you been disappointed even by your leadership? 833-33-GORKA. That's the number to call. What do you think it is that has people not happy to live in this country? What could it be? Bob in Philadelphia on line four. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. Oh, he dropped. Patrick, how about in California? Line one, he's there. You're on America First with Jennifer Horn. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thank you for the phone call. So this survey just really has me scratching my head. I love our country. I know we have our problems and our flaws, but we are still in a place where we can fix things as average citizens. Why do you think so many people, particularly Black voters, women, Democrats, and young people, are opposed to living in this country?
So two things. 25 years ago when I was in law school, I was actually working at Hoover Elementary School in downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Predominantly Hispanic. And I ran out of there after 3 weeks because in the third grade classroom, a young teacher was telling the kids about, you know, how they shouldn't be celebrating President's Day and basically concentrating on only negative things for President's Day. So when you combine education level or education in the public schools at that far long ago, and then you have the mainstream media give you nothing but bad news about the states and what seems like fantastic other places to live, including China, and then you have athletes talking about what a great opportunity China is, like you start to begin to see, and it's easy to understand why young adults might waver in what they should realize is the greatest country in the world and begin to think otherwise.
You know, I think you make some really good points, Patrick, and thank you for the phone call. The something that is so important is that we have to capture our schools. We have to be able to go in and give our kids a fighting chance, because the curriculum, the critical race theory that so many of us are talking about now, that does sink in. It does go into the psyche about just what the country is, what we're capable of. And really interesting, Patrick, you brought up China. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. The way the mainstream news media is glorifying the communist government in China, I think, does have an impact on people. They just somehow are misguided enough to think that that is better. All right, let's go to Sam in Los Angeles on line five. Hi, Sam. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka.
Hi, Jennifer. I think this poll may reflect people's views looking forward prospectively, saying, well, the country's on the wrong path, and thus they give a negative answer. You know, having a president who very likely has dementia, it makes people doubt whether there's someone really running the country, or is there something going on behind the scenes, and that makes them fearful, and thus they might have less of a positive outlook on living in this country.
You know, it's so funny, and I think you're right, Sam. I think maybe that is a piece of it. But I feel like the presidency is, it's so transient, right? I mean, you have people coming in every 4 or 8 years. The country is the country, and I feel like we need to start celebrating what makes America great, what we are capable of, what we can do as private citizens, our freedoms, or at least the freedoms we used to have that we want to fight for again. I don't know. It seems like it should be bigger than just the person that is residing in the White House. But maybe that's it. 833-33-GORKA. Brand new poll out suggests that only 69% of the country, according to Fox News, so that America is the best country to reside in. Is that you, 833-33-GORKA? We'll talk a little bit more about the mainstream media going a little wild over the Chinese Communist Party. This one is a doozy. Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Thank you for joining us. You found America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and we're talking about this new poll that is out suggesting that only 69% of Americans say that our country is the best country to reside in. We're taking your calls and thoughts on why that might be. 833-33-GORKA. Our last caller, I think it was Patrick, said it has maybe something to do with the mainstream news media. And I think Patrick is right. The amount of fawning, I mean, it is unbelievable. Sometimes you feel like you're in this alternate universe, or maybe that you're looking at an Onion or a Babylon Bee headline. But all of this fawning from CNN and from the mainstream media, they almost had a celebratory tone leading up to the 100th year anniversary of China's Communist Party. It happened this week. And they covered the speech by China's leader, Xi Jinping. In fact, Fox News is a great headline. They said, experts sound alarm over American media's celebratory tone of Chinese Communist Party's 100-year anniversary. They're saying this is Xi in NN, in reference to President Xi, who gave a speech. And in this speech, this should be, knowing what you know right now about COVID-19 and that China has come out and said that they'd like to colonize the United States, they'd like to be the superpower on the planet, right? We are an inconvenience to them. And in this speech that CNN and the mainstream media promoted in celebration, the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, President Xi warned foreign nationals, foreign nations, that's us, foreign nations to China, that they'll get their heads bashed bloody. Did this during a celebratory speech. Now, that's not always what I do at anniversaries and birthdays. You know, usually I don't threaten to bash people's head in. But that's what they are doing in China. They are telling us what they want to do. And you hear the alarm being sounded that the American media is not quite taking this seriously. Certainly, they're not pushing to find out more about China's role in the release of COVID-19, about the Wuhan lab, about all of the stuff that conservative media talk radio has been talking about. Now they're celebrating 100 years of communism, the CCP. Very, very strange. Also going on today, I am broadcasting to you from Los Angeles. I love the Dodgers. I am a baseball fan. I was born and raised. I think I might bleed Dodger blue. I'm pretty sure that aside from my parents, the first voice that I came to know was Vin Scully, who was the voice of the Dodgers for many, many years. And the Dodgers last year won the World Series. They are today at the Biden White House. And it's making me nuts because I keep looking at Instagram. I keep looking at social media and I'm seeing all of our favorite players on the Dodgers. They're all hanging out with Biden and Biden is standing there looking very confused, holding himself a brand new Dodger jersey. This was him from just a few moments ago introducing Clayton Kershaw, our ace pitcher. I kind of got it wrong.
Now let's bring up a three-time Cy Young Award winner, Clayton Kershaw.
Are you kidding me?
Now let's bring up a three-time Cy Young Award winner, Clayton Kershaw.
It's Clayton Kershaw. Why couldn't this be the Trump White House? 833-33-GORKA. The answer is probably half the team wouldn't show up, so I guess it's less controversial. I would be angrier if they were the Trump White House and half of the team didn't show up. But there they are, standing with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, the Dodgers visiting President Biden, the first team to do so after the pandemic. 833-33-GORKA. Why in the world does only 69% of this country say that it's the best country to reside in? John in Atlanta on line two. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Doing just great, thank you. Happy 4th of July. What do you think the reason is that number seems, it seems low, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I'd like to offer two reasons from my humble perspective.
Please.
One is I think the media is full of negative news all the time. And so for people who are only getting their news on a CNN or MSNBC, they're only seeing negative news reports and how bad everything is because that basically is part of the Democrat narrative. The second reason I'd like to offer is one that you haven't discussed yet, and that is this. Today's young people, and particularly the age group that you mentioned, the demographic profile of those
under
who
45.
Think negatively, are basically they've never served their country. They've never had the draft. They've never been in the Peace Corps. They don't really understand what the older generation does about how we're all connected and how what we ought to be doing is serving our fellow man. They've been so self-absorbed and into their own perspective that they really haven't had a chance to develop and mature into the broader view of how we are all interconnected.
You know what? I think that is a really great point and well articulated, John. Thank you for that phone call from Atlanta. Jim in West Virginia, standing by on line five, he says it's because the U.S. is throwing away our history. And boy, I think there is a piece of that as well. As we continue, the Biden administration facing a lawsuit at the border from sheriffs and ICE agents. We'll tell you all about it. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. This is America First.
America First. Magnificent.
It is magnificent. Thank you for joining us on America First. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to be in with all of you today for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Don't forget to follow him on Twitter at Seb Gorka. Check out the website, sebgorka.com. We're broadcasting today from the relieffactor.com mobile studios in Los Angeles. And I saw today this story, stunning. Where we are again in our news cycle. The Biden administration is being sued by sheriffs and active immigration and customs enforcement officers for its alleged handcuffing of them on enforcing immigration law by restricting arrests and deportation of illegal immigrants. The lawsuit is saying the relief we are seeking is that the court order ICE and the Department of Homeland Security to simply follow the law. The sheriffs and ICE agents say that specific laws already on the books require them to detain and deport certain illegal aliens, but a February 18th order from DHS restricts the arrest or deportation of migrants in the U.S. illegally, they say, and is unlawful and unconstitutional. Joining us right now to help us unpack all of this is a friend of this program, a new friend of mine, Sheriff Mark Lamb is here. He is the sheriff of Pinal County in Arizona. He joins us right now on America First. Follow him on Twitter, Sheriff Lamb. 1. And Sheriff Lamb, thank you so much for being with us. I know you're a friend of this program. You took Seb and you took Jeff down to the Border for a tour, right? They got to see all sorts of things with you, including a run-in with a snake.
Yeah, that was a great visit. And just a little backstory, I loathe snakes.
So like do I.
I wrote a book, and in the book I wrote, I'm not afraid of, I ain't scared of anything, .. except of snakes. So we
I'm
had a snake
you.
Pop out, and I think I blew their eardrums out trying to shoot it. So
did you get it?
I think I got it on the second shot.
You know, that's a snakes, moving target.
They're wily little buggers, though.
I know they are. Oh, gosh. I do not envy you. And you know what? They love Arizona, and that happens to be where you are.
They do.
Man, so be careful. Now, thank you so much for what you do and protecting not only your county, but just standing up for law enforcement and for your citizens. Right now, the Biden administration is getting sued simply so that sheriffs and ICE agents can follow the laws on the book. Imagine this. What do you know about this lawsuit, Sheriff Lamb? And is it really that bad? Are we really restricting law enforcement from doing their jobs?
Yeah, we are. And their policy changes are having an impact on our communities. The lawlessness, they're undermining the rule of law. Like you said already, Jennifer, the law says that they need to be deported. You can't be in this country illegally, but we have this administration that continues to not only turn a blind eye to it, they're actually saying it's okay if you're coming into this country illegally. And so we as sheriffs have had to stand up. I know I've been part of a lawsuit here with the state of Arizona with Attorney General Brnovich. We have filed a lawsuit asking the federal government to do their job, to take the people that pose a threat to our communities and to hold people accountable that are here in this country illegally. We have a process in place. We all care about human beings, but they need to follow the process that's been set forth by Congress and Senate.
Wow. It just, again, to have an administration that is almost working against the men and women who are on the border right now is really pretty stunning. What is the situation like in Arizona? We've been hearing a lot about Texas, McAllen, Texas, specifically. The president, former President Trump, was at the border. We can talk about that in a few minutes. But what is the situation like for you right now in Arizona?
It's tough. You know, we have seen a huge increase, hundreds of percent increase in the amount of human smuggling and drug trafficking that's been coming into our community. We have the I-8, the I-10 corridor, two major freeways right here in our county. They estimate that 40 to 50% of all illegal drugs that are here in America come through the borders of Arizona. And I would contend that a high percentage of that makes its way through my county at some point. So we feel like if we don't stop it here, it's going to filter throughout communities across this country. We're seeing the impact that fentanyl is having in our communities. We're seeing the impact that methamphetamines is having. And this is just a huge increase. And we as sheriffs cannot tolerate it. We cannot stand by while this goes on.
It's so heartbreaking to hear you say that. I live in California, just outside of Los Angeles. They're right now in the process of what will probably be the nation's largest drug bust. It is California's largest drug bust. And this is marijuana. And you think, well, it's legal in California. Why do we care? Well, this money is all funding the cartels, the sex traffickers. This is government-sanctioned abuse of children, of women, and certainly of those people who are falling victim to the drugs that are coming into this country. What are you looking for right now from the Biden administration? Are there any reversals in sight, or do you expect that this is just going to be a long ride, maybe into 2022 before the next election?
Unfortunately, I think the latter is going to be the case. I would hope that they would recognize the error of their ways and restore some of the policies that President Trump had implemented that were working. And let's get back to those and try to regain control of the border. However, I'm afraid that they're going to continue going down this path with these policies that they've instituted. And it's not just a border security issue. When you fail to uphold the law, you are sending a message throughout America and you are undermining the rule of law. And this has a negative impact on our communities. And we just cannot stand by while this happens.
And we're already seeing crime on the rise. It's because law enforcement is not being respected. The rule of law is not being respected from the highest levels. Now, before we run out of time, here's Sheriff Mark Lamb. He is here with us. Follow him on Twitter, Sheriff Lamb, the number one on Twitter. Sheriff, President Trump went to the border this week and unfortunately got very political because some people said he shouldn't have been there. Other people say, thank goodness he was. It was a catalyst to get the vice president to the border. In our final moment here, what did you make of President Trump's visit?
I thought it was outstanding because anybody that's bringing attention to the issue, the crisis that exists, I think we need to take it. President Trump is still a citizen of this country and he has a very strong voice. And I'm glad he went and spoke on behalf of the citizens, law enforcement, and expressed what we all feel, which is how bad this crisis is. This administration now, we've got Kamala Harris, who does this little fake visit down to El Paso. I mean, she really went, but that's not where the issue is.
Right.
And it was a very controlled visit, and it didn't really accentuate or highlight the crisis we're dealing with.
She didn't even go to the migrant facility where they were having sexual abuse claims. I mean, it's ridiculous. I would say laughable, but it's far more serious than that. Sheriff Mark Lamb, we're out of time, but thank you so much for all of your hard work. I want to send you to AmericanSheriff.com and follow Sheriff Lamb, Sheriff Lamb, the number one. Happy 4th of July to you. Thank you for all your hard work and for keeping us safe. As we continue, there is more up ahead. America First, Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. What a pleasure it has been to fill in for you, and thank you for making us a part of your day here at America First. I'm Jennifer Horn. I host The Morning Answer in Los Angeles on AM 870, AM 590, The Answer. My co-host is Grant Stinchfield, who I know is no stranger to these parts at America First. And from all of us here, we wish you a very happy 4th of July, holiday, Independence Day, just around the corner. America's 245 years old on Sunday. And gotta tell you that the White House has tweeted.
Danger!
And it was not, you know, every time the White House tweets, that alarm goes off in my head because I think, oh, gosh, what is this going to cost me? Well, the White House tried to give us a little bit of good news today. In fact, their social media team did a tweet about the 4th of July, and it was filled with all of these terrible puns. Are you ready for this? This is the tweet. Planning a cookout this year? Catch up. Get it? On the news. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of the 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact you must heard. Hot dog, the Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish. You know that someone got paid like $100,000, right? $100,000 to do the social media on that post, filled with all of the barbecue puns. But here's why people laughed. Because the Biden administration is being plagued with this idea of inflation, right? Everybody says the cost of things going up. They wanted to fight that and tell you that your barbecue is going to cost you less this year. But how much less? Well, that would be 16 cents. Yeah. Liz Harrington, who's been on this program before, she was a former spokesperson for the RNC. Now she's a spokesperson for former President Trump. She said, this reminds me of the passage in 1984 where they celebrate the chocolate ration going up when it was actually reduced by 10 grams. Little tip of the hat for you readers of 1984 out there. Biden administration, again, I guess, trying to capture the headline, turn it around a bit. And try to convince you that things just are not as expensive as they seem. But in any case, what I do want to leave you with today is that this country, we have a lot of people trying to hold down conservative thought. We talked about Facebook trying to tag your posts, take you down, or maybe even send you into therapy so you can get help if you've come into contact with right-wing extremists. Do yourself and do all of us a favor this weekend. Talk to your friends and family. Tell them why America is great. It is up to you to help celebrate this holiday. Make it more about the hot dogs and the hamburgers. Make it about why this country is good. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family. They need to hear it. It's how we spread the word. Thank you all so much for joining us. Happy Independence Day. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn, on Instagram and Facebook at Jennifer Horn Radio, and follow Seb Gorka as well at Seb Gorka, and check out the website, sebgorka.com. Happy Independence Day to all of you. Make it a great Friday. Thanks for joining us on America First.